Welcome to the Beacon Broadcast from Beacon Baptist Church in Burlington, North Carolina, featuring expositional Bible teaching by Pastor Greg Barkman. If you'd like to correspond with the Beacon Broadcast, or if you wish to support this radio ministry, write to the Beacon Broadcast, Post Office Box 159, Alamance, North Carolina, 27201, or find us on the web at beaconbaptist.com. BeaconBaptist.com. The Beacon Broadcast is supported in part by the gifts of faithful listeners. Now, with today's message from God's Word, here is Greg Barkman.
Well, we've made our way through the first three verses of Malachi chapter 4, and we are soon going to be taking a look at the next verse, which gives the remedy for a wayward society. It tells us how to transform a society that is in spiritual decline. And I'm sure that's something that we're all very interested in considering. But before we do that, I think we still need to draw a few more lessons and applications from the passage that we have just studied, which tells us about that great day that's coming when sin will be judged and righteousness will be exalted, and that puts it in sort of a general and impersonal way, but we can also accurately put it this way: a day is coming when sinners will be judged. Not just sin will be judged, but sinners will be judged, and not just righteousness will be exalted, but the righteous ones will be exalted. And, of course, nobody is righteous because of their own works, deeds, and merit. Anyone who is righteous only because of the righteousness of Jesus Christ imputed to them, which they have laid hold on by faith. But they are righteous. And the day is coming when they are going to be exalted, whereas the wicked, which simply means unbelievers, we're all wicked. The wicked are simply the ones who have not availed themselves of that righteousness which is found in Christ. And on that day, the wicked are going to be judged and punished. And that is going to be a sorrowful, sorrowful, sorrowful day beyond any comprehension, beyond any ability for us to understand the extent of the sorrow and the gravity and the awfulness of that day. I can only urge you, flee the wrath to come. Cast yourself upon the mercy of God. Flee to the Lord Jesus Christ so that you are not caught up in the judgment of that final day. Well, thank you for joining me on this Tuesday, March 24. And thanks to those who are mindful of our need for financial help and are willing to be God's instrument to supply it so that this Bible teaching ministry can continue on the station. Let me read once again the first three verses. The first verse talks about the judgment of the wicked. Verses 2 and 3 talk about the exaltation of the righteous, and here's what it says: "For behold, the day is coming, burning like an oven, and all the proud, yea, and all who do wickedly, will be stubble. And the day which is coming shall burn them up, says the Lord of hosts. That will leave them neither root nor branch. But to you who fear my name, the Son of Righteousness shall arise with healing in his wings, and you shall go out and grow fat like stall-fed calves. You shall trample the wicked, for they shall be ashes under the soles of your feet in the day that I do this, says the Lord of hosts." We've already looked at these verses in some detail, but let's consider some applications and lessons that I think grow out of these verses. And the first one pertains to the way of salvation. And we are not to take away from this text that the way of salvation is the way of good works versus evil works. It does contrast the wicked with the righteous. It does tell us that the proud and those who do wickedly are going to be judged, but it doesn't tell us that those who humble themselves and do righteously are going to earn for themselves a different result. That's not what it says at all. But it only talks about humble submission to divine authority versus proud rejection of divine authority. That's what it boils down to in the final analysis. You will either bow the knee now to your salvation, or you will be forced to bow the knee at that day, but it'll be too late for salvation. It's as simple as that. And that's why we need to humble ourselves and acknowledge our sin. That's what it means to humble yourself. That's one part of what it means to humble yourself. Acknowledge our sin. Acknowledge that we are sinners. Acknowledge, and this is one of the hardest things in all the world to do, acknowledge that I am worthy of judgment. I am worthy of eternal condemnation. That is a hard one. In ourselves, we couldn't do that. Our pride, our sense of our own exaggerated sense of self-worth and exaggerated sense of our own importance and righteousness makes it very difficult to say, I am worthy of eternal condemnation. So how do we know that that's true? Because the Bible says so. And taking the revelation of God for what it reveals, we know that that is true, and therefore we acknowledge it is true. Whether we feel the full extent of it or not, we say, oh Lord God, you are true, and if I don't agree with you, that I'm wrong. Let God be true and every man a liar, I'm wrong. And I humble myself before you, and I take the place of a sinner, and I recognize that I deserve eternal condemnation, and I therefore plead your mercy. Oh, Father, will you please extend your pardoning love to me, and with the arm of faith, with the heart of faith, with faith from our inward man, reaching out and receiving the pardon which is offered in the Lord Jesus Christ, by faith we are made righteous. And so the way of salvation is humble submission before the mighty hand of God, before the mighty throne of God, before the mighty authority of God, acknowledging that He is true and that we are sinners and we deserve His judgment, but that He has extended mercy to those who acknowledge their sins and seek pardon from Him. What is so difficult about that? Well, I'll tell you what's so difficult about it. It is our sinful self-righteousness. It is so difficult for sinners to acknowledge that they are sinners. And virtually everybody will say, well, I know I am a sinner. Usually it's couched something like this. Well, sure, I'm a sinner. Everybody is. Of course, I'm a sinner. Of course, I've done some things wrong. Everybody has. And when you start hearing phrases like that, you know exactly what's going on. What they're saying is, I'm not really all that bad. I'm certainly not worse than anybody else. Of course, I'm a sinner. I can't deny it, but everybody is. And the attitude seems to be, so what's the big deal? Well, as long as you have that attitude, you are not submitting yourself to the revelation that God has given. And what you need to do is like the Apostle Paul, who acknowledged himself to be what? The chief of sinners. Was he? In his own mind, he was. Was he really? You look at the life of the Apostle Paul, and you can see some bad things for sure. You can see a lot of good things also. You look at his life, and you compare it with others. Like, of course, we have more to compare it to than he did, but compare it to others like Hitler. In his day, there were certainly prominent people who were far more wicked, far more licentious. He had not lived a licentious life. His wickedness primarily consisted in persecuting the church of the Lord Jesus Christ until Christ arrested him on the Damascus Road. But he felt the weight of that so keenly that he thought of himself as the chief of sinners. Why did he think that way? Because he humbly accepted the verdict of Almighty God concerning his sin, and instead of justifying it and minimizing it and excusing it and comparing it with others and saying, well, yeah, I've done a few things wrong, but I'm not as bad as a lot of people. I'm not as bad as some of those rascals in Rome who are living in all kinds of lasciviousness and who are guilty of all kinds of intrigue and murder, and who you can go on and on and on listing all the things that were wrong with other people. I'm not as bad as that. When a person is talking like that, you're talking to a proud person who has not humbled himself before the throne of God. And that's the kind of people that are described in verse 1. For behold, the day is coming, burning like an oven, and all the proud, yes, and all who do wickedly is all of us. So the real difference is pride versus humility, a humility that is born out of a recognition that I am a sinner, I am a sinner, I am a sinner, I am a sinner before a holy, righteous God. I deserve his utter condemnation. O Lord, I fall before your face. I admit that I am a sinner. I am worthy of condemnation. But, O Lord God, you have made promises. You have extended mercy to others. Will you extend mercy to me? You have sent your Son into this world to die on the cross, that sinners just like me might be cleansed from their sins and be made righteous in your sight and given eternal life. O Lord God, will you extend that mercy to me as well? I don't deserve it, but I desperately need it. I desire it. I acknowledge my sin. I repent of my sin. I renounce my sin. I ask you, O God, to cleanse me of it. I do not have the power within myself to rid myself of it. I know that. But I ask you to cleanse me and to rid me of my sin. I do not want to continue in it. I do not want to pursue it. I do not want to continue excusing it and justifying it and practicing it. I want to be free of it. Oh, Lord God, I can't free myself. I'm in bondage to my sin. But you have the power to free me. And you are filled with plenteous grace. Plenteous grace in thee is found. Oh, Lord God Almighty, for the sake of this poor, undeserving, hell-deserving sinner, and for the sake of your own dear Son, who died that sinners might be cleansed, will you have pity upon me? Will you receive me? Will you cleanse me? You see, that's the attitude. That's the only difference. You are either going to be proud, and therefore the day is coming that will burn you up, says the Lord, and leave you neither root nor branch, or you are going to be those who fear his name and have this humble, believing, thankful attitude before him. That's what makes a difference. That's the way of salvation. It's not by your good deeds, not by your righteousness. It is by his righteousness given to you out of tender mercy. Until tomorrow, Greg Barkman saying good day. May God give you his eternal peace.